The revolution grows up. The government of Iran struggled for decades to fit into the broader Middle East, and it's finally succeeded. It now sees its people principally as a source of instability rather than as a source of legitimacy. 30 years after the revolution, the Iranian government has concluded it's far better to anesthetize the population than mobilize it. It's a conclusion from which there's no turning back. The Middle East has no shortage of formerly youthful revolutionary regimes that have slunk into middle age. In decades past, coups in Egypt, Iraq, and Libya all tossed out corrupt Western-oriented monarchies in favor of populist military men who promised to return power to the people. These new leaders oversaw the creation of cadres of young people who took to the streets, filled new bureaucracies, and enthusiastically supported the new regime. After a time, enthusiasms flagged and colorless leaders replaced the charismatic young firebrands who had led coups and revolutions. The press, which had been a reliable mobilizer of public sentiment, grew increasingly distrusted. The only people with increased power, it seems, were the internal intelligence agencies. No longer advancing the revolutionary vanguard, they were intent on reinforcing the status quo, and they did so with increasing efficiency. Over time, governments invoked their revolutionary ideology with increasing disinterest, until they rarely bothered to do so at all. Political power spoke for itself, and it needed no justification or excuse. It was, it is, and it will be the governing force in society. It makes no apologies for being so. While many remain republics in name, Libya continues to use the neologism Jamahiriya, a creative blending of the words for republic, Jumhuriya, and Jamahir, the masses. They've become monarchies in practice, ruled by cliques rather than extended families. For decades, Iran resisted this trend. Long after revolutionary rhetoric faded among its neighbors, that rhetoric remained deeply embedded in the Islamic Republic. Millions of Iranians turned out for demonstrations in the streets year after year, albeit sometimes more out of obligation than enthusiasm. An American reporter swept up in several days of Iranian rioting in the summer of 1999 said afterward that it wasn't until state television showed huge crowds pumping their fists and shouting "Death to America" that she finally felt safe to venture out. She had seen flamboyant public displays of anti-Americanism countless times before. They were predictable, and she didn't find them threatening. The Iranian revolution wasn't merely about rhetoric, however. Alongside the public fervor, the Iranian leadership has engaged in a 30-year effort to define the concept of Elayat-e-Vagi, the rule of the jurisprudent. Ayatollah Khomeini, who popularized the concept in opposition and then rose to become the jurisprudent himself, had a clear notion how it might be done. His successor, Ayatollah Khamenei, has led with a less sure hand, relying on surrogates and paramilitary groups and taking clear political positions where Khomeini would have remained above the fray. Even so, the basic bargain in Iranian governments has remained. Clerics are interspersed throughout the system, and clerical bodies are strategically positioned to block unwelcome change. In return, the clerical establishment has provided legitimacy for Iran's government. The people in turn have granted their acquiescence, often with less enthusiasm than the Ayatollahs, but with the belief among many that the system gave them a voice. In the aftermath of June's presidential elections in Iran, the deal is off. The Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps, which conservatives had bolstered almost a decade ago in order to check the efforts of Iran's reformist movement, is clearly ascendant. Their paramilitary cadres, the besieged militia, took to the streets in June with accountability to no one. The new guard portrayed the old revolutionary elites, war horses such as Ayatollah Ali Akbar Hashemi Rafsanjani, Mir Hossein Mousavi, and Saeed Hajjarian, as enemies of the revolution, thereby implicating them, the millions they led into the streets, and a whole generation of Iran's political leadership. The people, once confronted with deadly force, retreated. This month, the government has reportedly canceled a series of public Ramadan celebrations and moved others to smaller venues that can be more easily controlled, all out of fear that they would become anti-government rallies. The days of mass mobilization are over. In this way, Iran's become like many of its neighbors, drawing the lesson that it doesn't need the veil of revolutionary rhetoric to preserve its rule. Straightforward authoritarianism, with its control of the economy and willingness to coerce opponents, has been the backbone of many Middle Eastern regimes for decades. The masses have no role except to follow. So it is now with Iran. Iran's leadership is betting that it can make this pivot without forcing important parts of the clerical establishment into opposition. In this, the odds are clearly with the leadership. Clerics, and especially those on the state payroll, tend to support evolutionary rather than revolutionary change. But many clerical leaders were clearly repulsed by the government's acts of violence against Iranian civilians in June, and they've been slow to acknowledge the government's proclaimed victory, if they've done so at all. We may be seeing an important split opening up within Iran's ruling elite, with unpredictable results. What's starkly clear, however, is that this Iranian government has crossed a threshold from which there's no turning back. The revolutionary promise of the Iranian regime and the mobilization of the public to support that promise is no more. The government will do as it wishes, and it will seek to sustain itself in power. The people's role is to stay at home, not go into the streets. The revolution has grown up, and the revolution is over. Iran is no longer a singular revolutionary state. It is an ordinary authoritarian one.